Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, February 28, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Talks between Ukraine and Russia set for this morning. Global team coverage on the conflict straight ahead.
Equities sell off, treasury yields fall, and the dollar strengthens as the West isolates Russia.
And oil soars as more sanctions cause fears of an energy crisis.
It's a milestone for coronavirus mandates in New York State. Plus, North Korea is ramping up tensions while the world is focused on Ukraine. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The Knicks and Rangers both lost games at the Garden. A shutout win for the Islanders. A Big East loss for St. John's.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are tumbling and havens are rising this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, futures are lower, but off their lows of the morning, S&P futures are down 55 points, Dow futures down 369, and NASDAQ futures down 176. 10-year Treasury up 12/32, yield 1.91%, and the yield on the two-year 1.50%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest out of Eastern Europe. Officials from Ukraine are meeting with Russia now, and Belarus is preparing to send troops into Ukraine. Amy Morris kicks off our global team coverage from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Hours after Vladimir Putin put his country's nuclear forces on higher alert, Ukrainian officials planned negotiations near the border with Belarus. But the Washington Post is quoting an unnamed U.S. official that Belarus is preparing to send troops into Ukraine as soon as today to help Russia. Senator Mark Warner on the Senate Intelligence Committee tells NBC's Meet the Press Vladimir Putin may have miscalculated.
And when you are an authoritarian leader and you have less and less inputs and you're only hearing from people that want to say to the boss, hey, you're right, I think that leads to miscalculation. And I think that is what has happened in the case of his invasion in Ukraine.
The U.S. is now advising its citizens to consider leaving Russia immediately, with President Biden set to speak with allies on the crisis later today. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Now, more on that meeting between Russia and Ukraine. Ukrainian leader Vladimir Zelensky is questioning whether much may come of the talks.
I'll say frankly, like always, I don't believe that much in the result of this meeting. But let them try so that not a single citizen of Ukraine has any doubt left that I, as president, used every chance to stop the war, even a small one.
Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky is asking foreigners to join his forces. In response, Latvia will allow citizens to voluntarily travel to Ukraine to fight Russia.
In the meantime, Karen, the United Nations Security Council has voted to hold a rare General Assembly meeting today over the crisis in Ukraine. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
This is an attempt by the nations to further isolate Russia. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Linda Thomas-Greenfield says the urgent response came as Vladimir Putin put his nuclear program on high alert.
Even though he is invading a country with no nuclear weapons and is under no threat from NATO, a defensive alliance that will not fight in Ukraine.
The only vote against holding the assembly was Russia, but it does not count as a veto because it's considered a procedural meeting. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Well, Western nations have agreed to unleash new sanctions to further isolate Russia's economy. And Bloomberg's John Tucker continues our global team coverage live in New York. John.
Karen, some Russian banks will be excluded from the SWIFT messaging system, which is used to conduct trillions of dollars worth of transactions. The European Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, made the announcement over the weekend.
Cutting banks off will stop them from conducting most of their financial transactions worldwide and effectively block Russian exports and imports.
The decision to cut off banks from SWIFT marks a rapid escalation for the U.S. and its allies, who had said such a move was a nuclear option. And Russia's central bank will now also be prevented from deploying its international reserves. The decision to hit the central bank is a first for an economy the size of Russia's. It could lead to massive bank runs and shake Russia's financial system to the core. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. We are seeing the conflict in Ukraine have a major impact on equities and the Russian ruble this morning. Bloomberg's Max Ramsey continues our global team coverage live from London. Good morning, Max.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Yes, these sanctions bringing a big risk-off move and a lot more volatility. We are off session lows, but still to the downside across European stocks. We fall 1.3% on the Stock 600, the FTSE 100 down 1%, and the DAX in Germany leads losses down 2.2%. Russia's stock market has not opened today, but in the assets that are trading, real paralysis as sanctions hit the country's financial system. The ruble hit an all-time low against the dollar earlier, right now trading at around a 100 to the dollar. It started the year at 75. We also track the fallout across the energy space. BP shares down 5.3% in London trading today. They announced they would exit their stake in Russian state-owned oil producer Rosneft. Live in London, Max Ramsey, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Max, thank you. Well, oil is soaring as energy markets are thrown into a state of disarray. Checking prices right now, NYMEX crude oil is up 4.2%. It's at $95.45 a barrel, and Brent is up more than 4% as well at $101.97. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Brent crude jumped more than 7% overnight before pulling back to trade around $103 a barrel. The oil supply is already struggling to meet demand from rebounding economies, and any disruptions from Russia, which is the world's number three producer, could exacerbate conditions. Meantime, China and other buyers have paused purchases of Russia's flagship oil grade, and some Asian customers are frantically trying to secure more Middle Eastern crude. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. There's even more fallout from the Russian invasion. The Bank of Russia more than doubled its key interest rate overnight to the highest in almost two decades. The rate will increase from 9.5% to 20%.
And back here in the U.S., Nathan, Fed Chair Jay Powell must strike a delicate balance before Congress this week. Powell delivers semi-annual testimony on Wednesday and will likely endorse recent signals from his colleagues that the Fed will raise interest rates in March. At the same time, Russia's invasion has injected a dose of uncertainty. Again, futures are lower. S&P futures down 56 points. Dow futures down 369. NASDAQ futures down 182. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, 27 degrees in Central Park, and the Sunrise Highway's closed both ways in Merrick because of a crash. It's at Landown Avenue. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York's COVID-19 restrictions in the city and around the state will be scaled back in the coming days, ending indoor school mask mandates. Governor Kathy Hochul cited recent CDC guidance that classified New York as low risk for COVID infection.
There are some states, some counties in the state of New York where they have a higher rate of transmission. We will allow them the flexibility to determine what's best for their county. We would encourage them to take a look at this and follow the CDC, but this will no longer be a mandate.
Governor Hochul also says New York will also cut back requirements to show proof of vaccination in city restaurants, gyms, and other venues. Some governors are banning the sale of Russian vodka in response to the invasion of Ukraine. It comes as New York is among states pledging to welcome Ukrainian refugees.
Because we have the Statue of Liberty in our harbor, this is a point of pride for us to welcome all of them.
Governor Hochul signed an executive order that will result in a review of New York's business ties, purchases, and investments possibly connected to Russian entities. North Korea says it tested cameras to be installed on a spy satellite. Today's announcement comes a day after North Korea's neighbors detected a ballistic missile launch. The UN and others view a satellite launch by North Korea as a cover for tests of missile technology. President Joe Biden's approval rating fell to a record low. A new Washington Post ABC News poll shows only 37% approve of the job he's doing, and 55% say that they disapprove ahead of his first State of the Union address tomorrow. Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson will start paying courtesy visits to U.S. senators this week ahead of her confirmation hearing. If approved, she would be the first black woman seated on the U.S. Supreme Court. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York reacted to President Biden's Supreme Court nominee.
She is just such an outstanding nominee. It's amazed me that no one in her past who has worked with her, both when she was on the private side and then as a judge, has anything bad to say about her, whether they're Democrat, Republican, liberal, or conservative.
Senator Schumer also says an additional $6.4 billion in emergency aid for Ukraine will be added into an upcoming Senate budget bill. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshire.
All right, Nathan, 7 days in a row, the two sides of the baseball lockout have met. The one yesterday lasted 6 hours, but after each one, the story is always the same. No real progress on the key economic issues. They'll be back for more today, but according to MLB, if they don't emerge today with a lockout-ending labor deal, the season will not start on time and will not be 162 games. At the Garden, Knicks beaten by Philadelphia, 125-109. Joel Embiid scored 37 points. He went to the free throw line 27 times. Two Knicks centers fouled out trying to defend him. Embiid made 23 of those foul shots. And the new Sixer, James Harden, who engineered that trade out of Brooklyn, scored 29, had a triple-double. You feeling good with Philly?
This is my second game in damn near a month. But just my body feels great, man. It feels great. I haven't felt this way, honestly, in a really, really long time. So just my pop, my knee getting to the rim, my extra step, it feels really great.
Knicks not feeling so hot. They've lost 15 of their last 18. It's the worst in the NBA over that time. Lakers not much better. Lost at home to New Orleans by 28. Dallas came from 19 down in the second half to win at Golden State. Rangers were also at the Garden. Quiet night for the Blue Shirts. They lost to Vancouver 5-2. The Islanders a 4-0 win at Anaheim. Bad loss for St. John's with the Big East tournament coming next week. The Red Storm fell at DePaul 99-94. Javon Freeman Liberty scored 39 for the Blue Demons. Manhattan lost to Fairfield. Iona beat Ryder. The Gales have dominated the MAC, but they'll need to win the upcoming tournament to gain entry to the NCAAs. And Austrian Sepp Straka came from 5 shots down to win the Honda Golf in Palm Beach. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thank you, John. S&P futures now down 53 points. Dow futures down 353. NASDAQ futures lower by 174 points. Oil surging this morning. NYMEX crude up 4.5%. The latest on Ukraine next with Bloomberg's Roz Matheson. We'll look at the oil market as well with Stephen Schork of the Schork Group. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunny, breezy, mid-30s today, partly sunny, mid-40s tomorrow, high near 50, mostly sunny by Wednesday, currently 27 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions as 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Equities are falling. Sovereign bonds rallying. Commodities are surging amid heightened uncertainty after Western nations escalated sanctions on Russia for the invasion of Ukraine. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 60 points, so they're well off their lows of the morning, down 1.4% right now. Dow futures down 408 and NASDAQ futures down 195. The DAX in Germany is down 2.25%. The 10-year Treasury up 14.30 seconds, yield 1.91%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.5%. NYMEX crude oil is up 4.5% at $4.11 at $95.70 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.1% up $21.60 at $19.09.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1214 against the dollar. British pound 1.34 and the yen's at 115.56. And checking Bitcoin this morning higher by about 2.4%. It's at $38,330. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Right now, Ukraine is holding peace talks with Moscow near the Belarus border. It comes as President Vladimir Putin dramatically escalated east-west tensions by ordering Russian nuclear forces on high alert. In Hong Kong, they are currently grappling with the latest of the COVID mandates. Hong Kong reported a record high 34,466 infections today as deaths continue to climb. In the NBA, the Knicks, Celtics, and Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Islanders won, the Rangers lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Bloomberg Daybreak, and Bloomberg's executive editor for international relations, Roslyn Matheson, joins us as we continue following developments in the war in Ukraine. Roz, good morning. Good to have you with us. We just heard from Michael Barr that talks have begun on the Belarusian border between Ukrainian and Russian delegations. At the same time, we are hearing about continued fierce fighting in some of Ukraine's largest northern cities. What's the latest?
Well, that's right. Those talks, which were supposed to start on Sunday, have dragged on, have just now begun in a border area near Belarus. They're at a deputy minister and a ministerial level, which is relatively low ball, considering they're supposed to be discussing terms here for some sort of peace. What they're probably going to talk about is the definition of what it would mean for Ukraine to be, in quote marks, neutral in all of this. And when it comes to that question, there's a huge gulf between Russia and Ukraine on what Ukrainian neutrality would look like. So really, these talks are going to be pushing uphill from the very beginning to find some sort of progress at all. And expectations have to be very limited as they sit down to start their conversation. And certainly, at least it allows the Russian president to say, well, hang on, I am trying to hold talks here with Ukraine and trying to show some sort of negotiation. But the likelihood of some sort of progress from these talks has to be extremely low.
Now, when you talk about the idea of Ukrainian neutrality, we've heard from the president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, calling for fast-track admission into the European Union. What could the potential response from Europe be to that? What's the likelihood that we see more diplomatic support for Ukraine?
Well, that's right. And if anything, that just shows Ukraine increasingly wanting to move further toward Europe and certainly not to be what you would think of as neutral and with those comments this morning. So Ukraine has asked for that several times. It's interesting they've asked for it again today. Of course, getting into the EU is a very long and arduous process. Croatia, which was the last to join, it took them 10 years to get through all the steps to do so, but they might be able to take a very preliminary step, which in itself would be highly significant, even though full EU membership would be some time away. But it's certainly interesting timing that the Ukrainian president has raised that again today.
And at the same time, of course, as we heard from Michael Barr in the news there, Russia's President Vladimir Putin put his nuclear force on heightened alert over the weekend, a eye-opening step to be sure. How is that being received in Europe? How seriously are they taking the prospect of further escalation into incredibly dire weaponry?
Well, certainly that's the question. I mean, he's put his nuclear forces on higher alert, which doesn't suggest, of course, that any kind of nuclear action is actually imminent. What it does do, though, is, again, sort of throw that question into the broader security architecture for Europe. So you've got a continent that's grappling with a conflict right on its borders, especially out in the east. You've got NATO having moved a lot of forces and equipment there to send the message to Vladimir Putin that you may set foot in Ukraine, but you won't step further into Europe. And if you do, you'll be in direct confrontation with NATO forces. But the whole backdrop to this has been efforts over years to sort of towards nuclear non-proliferation in the region, to not have those weapons on the table. And certainly just by even raising the alert, the Russian president is saying, well, I'm putting it potentially back on the table. And that's got to be causing significant unease in European capitals and beyond.
And we're certainly seeing the unease in markets play out this morning with the ruble sinking and the flight to safety. What's the risk to the European economy of further sanctions on Russia when we're starting to see this fallout from the Russian central bank being sanctioned and some of the private banks being kicked out of the SWIFT financial system?
Well, certainly we want to wait and see exactly which banks are going to be kicked out of SWIFT by the US and others. And that will give us a broader idea, again, of how widespread the fallout might be on the European economies in particular, because they're the ones that have the most exposure to Russia, less so, of course, countries like the US. But we also want to see how it affects, for example, the chip supply chain, because a lot of chips go to Russia from Asia, not just China, but also other countries. Then if that gets cut off, particularly from Taiwan and Korea, you can see a flow-on effect, of course, on the chip supply chain, let alone the energy issue, which is, again, the big question of Europe's reliance on energy supplies. Would Vladimir Putin at some point decide just to turn those supplies off? That doesn't seem to have happened yet, of course, but it's one of those dangling questions that must be in the minds of European officials. So there will be reverberations on the European economy either way. And of course, we're coming out of a pandemic that's caused a huge amount of damage on the economy globally. So we need to see exactly how that plays out for individual sectors.
Bloomberg's Rosalind Matheson, our executive editor for international relations. As always, thanks for keeping us up to speed on what's happening in the crisis in Ukraine. As we continue to watch the fallout in markets, we are seeing another session where crude oil prices are surging. Brent is higher by 4.9%, just shy of $103 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate also.
Your broker's global analyst. It helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies that may have greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at IBKR.com/GA. We begin with the latest developments in Eastern Europe. Interfax is reporting that talks have started between Russia and Ukraine. President Vladimir Zelensky questions whether much will come of it, but he feels bound to make an attempt if it means a chance at peace. Meantime, Western nations have agreed to impose more sanctions aimed at isolating Russia's economy. Penalties have yet to include the energy industry, and here's White House spokesperson Jen Psaki.
Energy sanctions are certainly on the table. We have not taken those off, but we also want to do that and make sure we're minimizing the impact on the global marketplace.
White House spokesperson Jen Psaki made the comments on ABC's This Week, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, Karen, fears of an energy crisis do have oil surging this morning. Checking the latest prices, NYMEX crude's up 4.6% or $4.19 at $95.77 a barrel. Brent, the international benchmark, is higher by 4.9% at $102.68. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Brent crude jumped more than 7% overnight before pulling back to trade close to $103 a barrel. The oil supply was already struggling to meet demand from rebounding economies, and any disruptions from Russia, which is the world's number three producer, could exacerbate conditions. Meantime, China and other buyers have paused purchases of Russia's flagship oil grade, and some Asian customers are frantically trying to secure more Middle Eastern crude. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. While oil is spiking, equities are selling off and sovereign bonds are rallying. S&P futures, which were down almost 3% earlier this morning, are now down about 1.5%. The yield on the 10-year Treasury is at 1.91%.
And all these moves, Karen, are tied to efforts this weekend to isolate Moscow's financial system. Let's get the latest on that live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, fresh sanctions seek to prevent Russia's central bank from using foreign reserves to blunt penalties. The added sanctions also exclude some Russian lenders from the SWIFT messaging system that underpins trillions of dollars worth of transactions. As a result of these moves, doubts now growing about the Bank of Russia's ability to backstop the country's financial system that has the ruble essentially turning to rubble this morning. It now takes 100 ruble to buy $1. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Again, futures are lower. S&P futures down 63 points. Dow futures down 435. And NASDAQ futures down 200. The DAX in Germany is down 2.4%. 10-year Treasury at 14/32 yield 1.91%. And the yield on the two-year 1.50%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 4.5%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 27 degrees in Central Park. A disabled vehicle on the local lanes heading to the GW Bridge. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael, good morning.
Thank you very much, Nathan. It is a new coronavirus mandate milestone for New York State. Governor Kathy Hochul is lifting mask requirements in all of the state's public schools starting Wednesday, giving parents and students the option.
Individual parents have their own knowledge of their children. They know their own children's health. They know their tolerance for the mask. They know whether for them, if they've got an underlying health condition.
She says the move follows new CDC guidelines. Governor Hochul also condemned any bullying or harassment against those who chose to keep their mask on. Governor Hochul also says New York is among states pledging to welcome Ukrainian refugees.
These are our fellow brothers and sisters. We worship with them. We go to restaurants with them. We celebrate their cultural festivals. They're an important part of the fabric of New York State. So an attack on their country is truly an attack on all of us.
Hochul also signed an executive order that will result in a review of New York's business ties, purchases, and investments possibly connected to Russian entities. North Korea followed up January's record barrage of missile tests with the firing of a suspected mid-range ballistic missile, ramping up tensions as global attention is focused on Ukraine. Meanwhile, Pyongyang says it tested cameras to be installed on the spy satellite. A Texas man charged with storming the U.S. Capitol with a holstered handgun on his waist is the first January 6th defendant to go on trial. Jury selection is scheduled to start today for the case against Guy Wesley Riefen. Former President Donald Trump, who teased over the weekend he could run again in 2024, was the clear choice in a presidential straw poll of attendees of the Conservative Political Action Conference. Meanwhile, Trump's attorney general says move on from the former president. That's the advice for Republicans from William Barr in his new book called One Damn Thing After Another. Barr writes that the former president has shown he has neither the temperament or persuasive powers to provide the kind of positive leadership that is needed. The Screen Actors Guild Awards were handed out last night. Hamilton's star, Leslie Odom Jr., kicked off the show with this message.
Now, while tonight is a celebration, we are all at the same time holding a place in our hearts for the people of Ukraine and sending our thoughts, prayers, and hopes for impending peace.
In an upset, the Death Family drama Coda has won top honors at the SAGs. That also saw wins for the leads of Squid Game, the cast of Ted Lasso, and Will Smith. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. Doubleheader at the Garden. Two New York losses. Up first, the Knicks, who were over 500 in mid-January. 3-15 since. That's the worst of any NBA team. Philadelphia won 125-109. Knicks kept fouling Joel Embiid. He took 27 free throws, made 23, scored 37. The Knicks coach Tom Thibodeau asked, why all the fouls?
If they're generating speed and there's contact, there's going to be, you know, and it's, you know, some games it's marginal contact, it's not a foul. Some other games it is. And so that's where you have to adjust. And, you know, you have to be in early and get out early. And you have to pull your hands back. And you got to stay down on shot fakes and that sort of thing.
James Harden's second game with the Sixers, 29 points, a triple-double. Evan Fournier, R.J. Barrett both with 24. But Julius Randle in two games since the All-Star break has shot 6 of 28. And now the Knicks go on the road for a 7-game trip, all but one against teams currently in the playoffs. After the hoops, they put down the ice for the Rangers and Canucks. Blue Shirts trailed 4-0 third period. Goals by Alexi Lafreniere and Ryan Strome made a little interesting, but Vancouver won 5-2. Islanders 4-0 win at Anaheim, fifth shutout of the year for Ilya Sorokin. St. John's lost at DePaul 99-94. And UConn beat Georgetown. The Hoyas are 0-17 in the Big East. Patrick Ewing, their greatest player ever, says he's hopeful he gets to keep his coaching job. Baseball lockout continues. If no labor deal by today, the season will be shortened. The Mets have hired 25-year-old Elizabeth Benn to be their director of Major League Operations. She had been working in the MLB office. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta on another morning where geopolitics are front and center. Kriti, what are you seeing this morning?
Yeah, geopolitics front and center. If I can quickly break some deal news, though, first, TD, the Canadian bank, Toronto Dominion, to buy First Horizon. The ticker here is FHN, for about $25 a share. FHN shares are surging in the pre-market, up 32%. Looks like off that deal news. But Nathan, to your point, the real news here is going to be those geopolitical tensions. Let's start with the geopolitical hedges in particular. As we know, this Russia and Ukrainian war, well, is creating a big bid in defense companies. Over the weekend, Olaf Scholz, the German chancellor, saying that they're going to be ramping up their defense, committing about 2% of their GDP to their defense budget in 2024, spending a lot of money on ramping that up. And so you do see some of the major American defense export companies, Lockheed Martin, for example, catching a bid. LMTs, your ticker, up 4.4%. A similar story with Raytheon. RTX is your ticker there, up 4.5%. You're also seeing a bid into energy stocks, American energy stocks that have a lot more domestic exposure. Occidental is the one that comes to mind. Nathan, OXY is your ticker, up 1%.
You got to think, though, that companies with exposure to Russia are going to be getting hit really hard this morning.
Really hard. And a great example when we're speaking of oil companies, that not all oil companies are created equal. BP is a great example of that. It is looking to offload its 20% stake in the state oil giant. Rosneft down 7.3% in its ADRs trading in the pre-market. But it's not just that. You have a lot of American companies that have exposure there as well. Coca-Cola, for example, about 21% of their revenue comes from, 21% of their volume comes from Russia and Ukraine combined. You do see that stock down 1%. KO is the ticker. Also keep an eye on McDonald's. MCD is your ticker. It's up 0.7%. A little bit of light trading in that stock right now, but it also gets 9% of its revenue, once again, from Russia and Ukraine. Its seventh largest presence is actually in Russia, so keep an eye on that stock. Another story here is going to be Philip Morris. PM is your ticker, down 1.6%. They get 7% of their revenue from Russia. So once again, a common theme when it comes to consumer staple stocks.
All right, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta going to be keeping an eye on all those stocks throughout the morning, I'm sure, and taking a look at the market as a whole as we get set for what could be a very bumpy Monday morning open. S&P futures are now down 62 points. Dow futures down 426. NASDAQ futures are lower by 194 points. The 10-year Treasury up 14.32. The yield 1.91%. Yield on the 2-year 1.50%. The ruble down more than 16% at 98.925 to the dollar. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunny, breezy, mid-30s. That's all we'll get to today. We'll be in the mid-40s by tomorrow, a high near 50 possible by Wednesday. Right now, 27 degrees under a clear sky in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are lower this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are plunging after Friday's gain, with Dow futures currently down 441 points. S&P's dropped 65. NASDAQ futures lowered by 206. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.91%. Gold is up 17. Oil trading higher. And Bitcoin gains by 2%. European markets are also under pressure, led by 3% losses in France. And back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 8:30, wholesale inventories, and at 9:45, Chicago PMI. In deal news, TD to buy First Horizon for $25 a share. And wrapping things up, Foot Locker was cut to neutral over at Credit Suisse. Bally's cut to hold at Jefferies. And Avi was cut to neutral over at UBS. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A Ukrainian delegation led by its defense minister arrived at the border with Belarus for talks with Russian officials. Ukrainian President Zelensky has voiced skepticism that it will yield results, but said he's willing to try. Toyota says it is suspending production at all 28 lines of its 14 plants in Japan because of a system malfunction at a domestic supplier. Japan's top automaker apologized for any inconvenience caused to customers. Toyota and other automakers already are grappling with shortages of computer chips and other parts. In the NBA, the Knicks and Celtics and Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Islanders won, the Rangers lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. It is coming up to 6:49 on Wall Street, and we turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes infrastructure-ready graduates from civil engineers to transportation specialists. If it's infrastructure, NJIT grads are building it. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Coronavirus restrictions in New York will be scaled back in the coming days. Indoor school mask mandates will be ended. So will requirements to show proof of vaccination in New York City restaurants, gyms, and other venues. Daily cases have plunged from more than 90,000 statewide in January to less than 1,700 on Sunday. In Hong Kong, the government is being forced to move away from the key pillars of its strict COVID-zero policy. A surge in new cases have overwhelmed the healthcare system. Patients with mild cases are no longer sent to hospital or isolation facilities because there's no space. A group of scientists has found that a forest pest that bedevils Maine residents and tourists with hairs that cause an itchy rash appears to be spreading due to warming temperatures. The growth and spread of the moth is tied to increasingly warm weather, especially in the fall. And scientists wrote recently in the journal Environmental Entomology, and unfortunately, they say climate trends suggest upcoming years could be even worse. That's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Oh, boy. Thank you, Karen. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. as Ukrainian and Russian delegations meet and Belarus prepares to send troops into the war in Ukraine. Russian President Vladimir Putin put his nuclear forces on high alert over the weekend. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Linda Thomas-Greenfield tells CBS's Face the Nation she's not surprised.
Putin has tried every means possible to actually put fear in the world in terms of his action. And it just means that we have to ramp up our efforts here at the United Nations and elsewhere to hold him accountable.
And those efforts are ramping up, with Russia's central bank now under sanctions and many private banks off the SWIFT financial network. Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney tells Face the Nation the next target should be Russia's oil and gas.
The United States ought to be looking at ourselves, frankly, as an arsenal of energy for the world, in the way that in World War II we were an arsenal of democracy. We ought to be an arsenal of energy. So we ought to be unleashing our own energy resources, our own energy production. We got to stop the imports of Russian oil to the United States.
All this as President Biden prepares for his first State of the Union address tomorrow night. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki tells ABC's This Week.
Leaders lead during crises. That's exactly what President Biden is doing. He'll speak to that, but he's also going to speak about his optimism about what's ahead and what we all have to look forward to.
This Week in Face the Nation can be heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins as we continue to watch developments between the Ukrainian and Russian delegations along the Belarusian border. Emily, what is happening in Washington? What more diplomacy is happening there?
So I think obviously Washington is watching the developments very closely, weighing whether additional sanctions might be needed. In addition to those added this weekend, notably those on SWIFT, which initially Biden had said was going to be off the table, then kind of said, you know, hey, we are we're waiting for our European allies to come to agreement with us on this. And I think the SWIFT going into place really shows just how much this conflict has escalated. Congress is getting back this week, which means we could see lawmakers resume discussions on another package of sanctions. But I think at this point, we're more interest is in what needs to be given to Ukraine in terms of defense, in terms of humanitarian aid. We saw over the weekend that Congress, the U.S. did announce $54 million in humanitarian aid to Ukraine. But we know that in the past week, lawmakers have floated numbers as big as $10 billion in aid between humanitarian and defense. So I think that's going to be something to watch this week. In addition, of course, Biden's State of the Union address, there are a number of things that the president wants to cover in terms of going forward with different social and economic plans, the future and fate of his Build Back Better package. But really right now, this Russia invasion has really sort of consumed everything in terms of immediate priorities. for Congress and for the White House.
Now, you have to think that there's been some kind of reframing of the direction of the State of the Union address, given all these global geopolitical events. At the same time, as you know, the president's approval ratings are seeming to go lower and lower. Is there a feeling at the White House that the State of the Union is still a way for the president to sort of turn his political fortunes around, even as all these outside events continue to reshape and redirect his presidency?
I mean, absolutely. I think the White House does realize that even though there's so much else going on, that the State of the Union is still a major speech, a major moment. It gets lots of coverage. Bloomberg, of course, will be covering it. But it is still an opportunity for Biden to kind of shift the message. And we have seen some message changes coming from the White House as far as really pivoting from trying to sell lawmakers on additional funding plans to sort of talking a bit about what the White House has done. What they have accomplished. This is something I've heard even from Democratic lawmakers who say that Democrats don't always do a great job messaging what they have done. There is a sense out there that Democrats haven't accomplished a lot, even though they passed COVID relief, even though they passed an infrastructure bill. And I think there's a sense among the Biden administration, as well as Democrats, that the next several months leading up to the midterms need to be spent reminding Americans what the administration has done in its first year.
So only about 30 seconds left here, Emily. What are you going to be watching for from the White House today as President Biden gets ready to hold more meetings with his counterparts?
I think the we're looking for any sort of request from the White House to Congress as far as what they want. A lot of the times you'll see these requests for funding originate with the White House and with Biden, and then you'll see lawmakers in Congress be able to quickly respond to those. So I think that's the number one thing to keep an eye out for today.
All right. So we'll be watching to see if any more movement for Ukraine, any more support for Ukraine is still on the table. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us from Washington, D.C. You can read much more on what's happening in the war in Ukraine on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, thanks, Nathan. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and February is Black History Month, and every day this month we are celebrating significant moments in U.S. Black history. Now with your installment for February 28th, here is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 1984, Michael Jackson wins an unprecedented 8 Grammy Awards, including Album of the Year for Thriller and Record of the Year for Beat It. To date, that's the most number of Grammys won in a single night. Several other hits and awards later in 1997, Jackson was included in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for the first time as part of the Jackson 5 with his brothers, and later inducted as a solo artist in 2001. In 2006, the King of Pop was named by Guinness World Records as the most successful entertainer of all time. 3 years later, in the week following his death, Jackson became the first artist to sell more than 1 million digital tracks in 1 week, 2.6 million tracks to be exact. And in 2014, yet another posthumous record. Jackson became the first artist in history to score a top 10 hit on the Billboard Hot 100 in 5 different decades. That's today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. Another deal to tell you about: Healthcare Realty and Healthcare Trust of America agreeing to combine in a stock and cash dividend deal worth $17.6 billion. And earlier, TD said it's going to buy First Horizon for $25 a share. Again, futures are lower this morning, falling even. S&P futures down 60 points, but they are off their lows in the morning. Dow futures down 411, NASDAQ futures down 180. And Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.